last week we had sort of reviewed with you the matter of the Holy Spirit's coming as a comforter to abide with us forever. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter that may be with you forever. Remember we said that last week that that word comforter really means one that strengthens. And we have it from the word comfort, or comforter in Latin, means to strengthen together with. And our word fort or fortress is built off of the same root as that word comforter. So the Spirit comes to strengthen us. He does not come so much to pat us on the head, tuck us in bed at night, and give us sweet lullabies. He comes to give us the power that we need to live, the strength we need to live. I may have used this analogy before, but on occasion, my mind on other things and let the gas tank run out. Once in a while, I get stuck on a freeway. And I was thinking of this the last time that happened, that what the automobile needed was gas in the tank. It did not need me to pat the hood and say nice things to it. By the same token, what we need is gasoline in the tank, and we need the strength, the energy to move in the world of problems that we have, and not just some sweet lullaby to make us feel good. Sometimes the harsh words may be the best comfort sometimes. Some years ago, I had a funeral for a man that committed suicide. And his wife was a shrewish type woman. That is, she was pretty hard to get along with. She was witchy, you know. So anyway, knowing some of the things that went on between them, I suspect that she had a great part in his finally committing suicide. After the funeral was over, and a week or two passed, and I got a distress call from her. And she was saying, you know, should I just wonder now if maybe I was the cause of my husband's committing suicide. She says, all my friends tell me not to think that way. That's not true. I said to her, well, knowing both of you, I suspect that that's probably true. You probably did, in some ways, drive him to suicide. Which was not a very kind word to say to her. But I said to her, remember that the Lord forgave Paul for killing Christians. I suppose he can forgive you or acting in such ways as to drive your husband to suicide. Well, the interesting thing is that just corked the whole matter. Never heard about it again. In fact, I saw her just a few months ago, and this incident took place at least 10 years ago, maybe more, you know, and she was still going strong. You see, there came a time when I had to tell her the truth, and I couldn't just pat her on the head and say sweet words to her. Sometimes if I say things to some of you, which may seem a little bit strong and harsh, you'll have to understand that that's the spirit in which I do that, that I want to be sure that you get the help you need and not just a little sweet lullaby. You'll have to forgive me for my boldness. All right, so the Holy Spirit comes in to straighten your life out, not to make you feel nice. And if we start moving in the line in terms of our approach to Christ of seeking these grand, lovely spiritual experiences, and if we get to the place where we feel that any time we're having a lot of difficulty and trouble and we're not feeling like shouting hallelujah, that if we feel any time that happens we're defeated and that the Spirit isn't with us, we're wrong. The Spirit may be more with you in the negative things than some of these nice little positive experiences that you have. All right, so the Comforter then comes, the Holy Spirit, to be in us. Now, I want to
also survey this much with you, because here we are at this point introduced now to the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts. Now, we have written a book called On Christ, the Living Word, in which we outline some of the idea of how it is that the Spirit comes into our hearts. And I'm not going to recap that book, but I do want to give you a couple of thoughts here. Remember that the origin of all life, the origin of all spirit experience as well, is the eternal Spirit called the Godhead. God is the eternal Spirit. Jesus said that. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So, in the eternity past, the Spirit of God occupied the whole meaning or existence of life. The Spirit of God is greater than the universe and underlies it and is the strength of it. All right. Now, when the time came that God intended to project himself in creation, at that point, there came forth from him Christ, the Logos, the eternal Word of God. God projected himself in a revelation called Christ. Now that, too, was part of the Spirit of the Godhead. Now, when Jesus died, he was only in the tomb for, well, what we call 3 days, a fraction of those days. But he was in the tomb, and then he rose again, and Jesus, the earthly figure, possessed with the Spirit of Christ, now becomes the everlasting body that Christ occupies. So Jesus Christ is the eternal figure to whom we relate, the one to whom we pray, the one whom we will see when we get to glory, when we get to heaven. We'll see Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, and we'll be with him then for eternity. All right, now, after Jesus arose and Christ had that eternal body, then he sent his Spirit to be in us. Now, what we have is a direct contact, a direct line, a continuity of the Spirit flowing through Christ to Jesus, back to the Godhead, and into us. That line is continuous. The process, the power of the Holy Spirit is a continuous thing going down through all eternity, through all of time, and into our very hearts. And we are tied to Christ, and we are tied to the Godhead by that Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks of the Father of spirits. The sense in which God is our Father is that he is the origin of our spirits. That's a marvelous thing. We're connected to God. I have to say that most of the things, if not, I suppose I should say, all the things that trouble you today are only flack, if I can use the term, from Satan. The shells are popping all around you. Your ears may be deafened with the blast, but you're not being affected. The Spirit of Christ is in you. You cannot be destroyed. You're going to go on and on for eternity because the Spirit of Christ is in you. You cannot be affected any more than God allows you to be affected because his Spirit is in you. You're part and parcel of God. If Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 says we are partakers of the divine nature. So that line of the Spirit has come down all the way through eternity into our hearts. And there he is tonight. And we have the strength of God within us. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now you see, the attacks of Satan are noisy, but not very effective. Just noisy. So if you can learn to shut out the noise and not go on the racket he makes, just go on what the actualities are. Because Satan keeps reading, it's noisy. He keeps telling you that all the terrible things that are going to happen, and, you know, this isn't going to come out, and that isn't going to come out. What are we going to do about this? Satan's banging on your ear, and he says, hey, did you hear what they said to you? Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what he said? Isn't that terrible? he'll say, boy, you might lose your job. And that fellow that's over you there, that boss of yours, he's getting a little anxious about you. You're going to lose a job, you know. Everything that comes up, Satan keeps hammering on you to start worrying and being troubled about everything. But if you just realize that he can make a lot of noise, but he can't really get to your spirit. Your spirit is as eternal as God's spirit now. If you have Christ in your heart, you're going on and on. The old body may suffer a little bit, but your spirit is going to go on and on for eternity. And that's what it's all about. If you think things are bad, just remember the Spirit of Christ is still in you, and that all the things that you suffer are in your flesh, your outward person. I mean your natural person, not just the flesh in terms of the physical body, but I'm talking about your natural mind, your natural person. You think a lot of dumb thoughts in your mind that God never originated. And there are things that Satan is troubling you with, and misunderstandings. I said, just as we were coming in tonight, that there's probably enough energy to power a rocket to the moon with all the hot air that goes on in the election reports tonight. I mean, these reporters are out there, these news commentators, and they got to fill up the time, and there's nothing to really say because it's all been said already, but they're going to fill up the time, and they're going to dribble on and dribble on all night about things that just killing time, you see. Well, the same thing is true in terms of the Christian. We figure out more nonsense in our heads and say more dumb things and more hot air that has nothing to do with reality. Now, Christ goes on and on in us, and he's working it out and perfecting us and helping us and so forth. But on the surface, we just have a lot of turbulent thoughts. So just hold steady. And if your thoughts are a little bit turbulent right now, don't worry about it. Just hold on, and the Lord will help you get straightened out. You focus on Christ, and know that whatever Satan does or says is only on the surface. So he says then that we are possessed with the Spirit, with the Comforter, even the Spirit of truth. The Greek word means reality. Truth is the verbalization of reality. So, the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of the real. Whatever is real. Most of the things in the world are phony, or they are illusions. We are living in a world of fantasy and illusion. And the things we think we have, we don't have. The things we think are going to go on and on do not go on and on. Mostly life is an illusion. And in fact, even what we think about others is an illusion. We make judgments about people that are wrong, 100% wrong, but we keep them anyway. But the Spirit of Christ in you is what is real. That's no illusion. Many of your religious thoughts may be illusions, certainly misconceptions, misunderstandings, misapplications, but Christ in you is real. That's why I've said to you in the past that the love that you have for others must be a love that the Spirit gives you, because your own kind of love would be faulty. If you try to figure out what love is and try to practice it, it's going to probably be phony. So you want desperately to make people feel that you love them, and you go up and put a broad grin on your face and shake hands with them. But that may be just phony. See, you don't really know. You don't always know whether you're phony or not. no one, I think, of very few people really are intentionally phony. They're trying to be nice. They're trying to show love, but it doesn't always come out right. But only the Holy Spirit in you can really love people properly. So you just relate to people and let the Holy Spirit worry about how you're going to love them through you. Just accept people and let the Spirit love them through you. You may not even realize that you love them. You don't always realize how much you care for a person until something happens, and then you are concerned, you see. But normally we don't know really whether we love people or not. We don't even know really whether we love God or not, or how much. But I relate to Him, and I care, and I'll leave it to Him to determine how much that love is. You see, our human mind tends to distort and to cover and deceive, but only the Spirit in us can really come forth in truth. Now, he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, it is not able to receive because it does not see him, neither know him. Jesus said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And he meant there, as he went on further to say, to be born of the Spirit. Unless the Holy Spirit takes the scales from your eyes, you cannot see Christ. Otherwise, the man of the world, the person of the world, has not got eyes to even look for Christ. Now, of course, a question that might readily come up is, well, then if that is true, how do people ever get started in the first place? I want to suggest to you that a lot of it has to do with praying. You pray for people, and the Lord finds ways to get through to them. People that never get prayed for may have a tough time. Well, once again, we have to trust the grace of Christ, and a lot of people who do have the, they do get their mind directed toward Christ, but they reject it. They know what they ought to do, but they're too much interested in the world, perhaps, so they reject it. Well, that's something we can't help. That's something God can't change. If a person, a God can be responsible for knocking on their door, but he doesn't force his way in, you see. If they keep the chain locked, he's not going to put his shoulder to it and break the chain. And I really don't know whether he's going to put his foot in the door or not either. People want to slam the door on him, that's up to them. But you can pray and the Holy Spirit will open up the door. I mean, will knock on the door. There may be other ways that it happens too, but the Spirit of God does do something in the heart of a person before they can really honestly seek the Lord. All right, so now as Christians, as those who have taken the Spirit into your hearts, you are able to receive Him. You are able to know Him. John goes on to say, but you know Him because He dwells with you and shall be in you. What does he mean by that? Well, Jesus was there with his disciples in person. When he was saying these words, they were there together. Jesus was a great deal of help to his disciples and taught them a lot of things. But even Jesus was not inside of them. The Spirit was inside of Jesus. Jesus was at that time the embodiment of the Holy Spirit. All that the Spirit had, all the power of the Spirit was in Jesus as he stood with those disciples. But after all, at that point, the Spirit was only with them, you see. Now, after Jesus would rise from the dead and return to glory, then the Holy Spirit would be in them. Thus Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you. Now do you see that we have a greater privilege than the Old Testament people had? And in a way, all of you are on a par with Moses. You look at Moses and you think what a great person he was. And the reason he was that way is because he had the Spirit of God in him in a way that the people did not. Moses was able to perform certain miracles or to function at a certain level that the people of Israel were not, because The Holy Spirit was not in the children of Israel at that time. And in Hebrews chapter 3, Moses is linked with Jesus, you know, because Moses was a type. He was a sort of a forerunner of Jesus. Now, after Jesus went to glory and the day of Pentecost came, then the Holy Spirit came from Jesus to dwell in the hearts of the believer. And at that point, everyone who takes Christ receives the Holy Spirit. It is not true to say that you only receive part of the Spirit then, and then later you have a special experience and receive more of Him. You have the Spirit with you the moment you take Christ. You may have many subsequent experiences where the Spirit does things within you that make changes and that cause you some special blessings. But the moment you take Christ, you have His Spirit in you in a way that the children of Israel of the Old Testament did not have Him. They were legally bound to God through their national heritage, but they did not possess the Spirit. Now later, of course, the Jews that did accept Christ, and many of them did, those Jews then came into the possession of the Holy Spirit. All right, so he says that, I will not leave you orphans. The scripture, the English Bible tends to say, some of them say, I will not leave you comfortless. The Greek word here is, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Because the disciples at that point, as soon as Jesus went back to glory, the disciples were desolate. They had nothing. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And yet a little while and the world will no longer see me. But you see me. Because I live, you also shall live. On that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I think we'll stop right there and take up the rest next week. But this is what it's all about. This is the simplicity of the entire thing. That as you take Christ, His Spirit comes into your heart and lives with you. You don't need to think in terms of working your way to it. You don't think in terms of saying, well, I'll just accept Jesus now, and then if I'm really very, very good, and I do things very, very well, then maybe the Holy Spirit will come and be in me, and then I can be one of the great ones. Well, the moment you take Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in you. You couldn't have Christ without the Spirit, because Christ is the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. How could you take Christ and not have the Holy Spirit? It's impossible. Where people get confused is that they confuse subsequent experiences with a second crisis. You know, in other words, if you take the Spirit of Christ into you, it's obvious that you and He are going to tangle. I know most of you here pretty well, and I know myself pretty well, and I can understand that if I take Christ into my heart, we're going to tangle, because we're not very much alike in the beginning. And He's got a lot of things to do with us, and He's got a lot of things yet to do with me. I'm sure He's got a lot of things yet to do with you. We're not there yet. And that's where the process comes. Once the Spirit comes into you, He starts working you over. Now, sometimes He brings you into crisis issues, crucial problems, and you give your heart to Him more deeply. In other words, you confront decisions and you confront problems in your life and you say, all right, Lord, I really want to go on with You in spite of this problem. Well, now that's a great leap forward. That's a spiritual experience. But you're going to have many more like that. And then again, you may have experiences that reveal the depth of your heart and your problems, your weaknesses, your sins, your failures. And those are experiences with the Spirit too. When He pulls back the cover on some odorous area of your life and you know what a rotter you are, what a bum you are, at that point is another experience with the Holy Spirit. So it's just a lifelong process. After you accept Christ, a lifelong process of interacting with the Spirit. And sometimes you take leaps forward and sometimes you
have to face negative issues in your life, but all of it is the same process. You're neither better nor worse than any other believer. And Christ, remember that Christ is just as close to you tonight as he is to me or anyone else. We don't climb the ladder of holiness to get to Jesus. He's already is. But many people feel that the better they are, the closer they are to Christ, you know, the holier they are. Well, I have to tell you, again, knowing people pretty well, if that were true, you'd be a long way off from Jesus tonight. No, he's in you, and his spirit is there probably more active when you're in trouble than when you're not. It's like when you were little ones and you were sick and mama came and sat by the bed, you will hold your hand to get you got well. So when you're sick spiritually, the Spirit of Christ may be more present more active in you than ever. So don't go down this road of feeling that if you're a little bit better every day, you'll get a little bit closer to Jesus. His Spirit is in you now, and you are just as close to him as I am or anyone else. And yet I say that in the sense that I go out and do this work just night after night. Every night in the week I'm gone. Just constantly, that's about all there is in my life is this work, you see. Well, some people might look at that and say, well, his prayer is a little better than mine, or he's a little closer to Christ than I am. But that's not true at all. Not at all. You're just as close to Christ as I am or any other servant of the Lord that might be, say, a pastor or somebody that you think is always with Christ and therefore a little better. We're no better at all. We're just people possessed of the Spirit going through the struggles and changes and distresses of our lives and letting his Spirit minister to us in the process. As you expose yourself to the Spirit, he changes your life. If you go down on the beach, you find a lot of people, the sun worshippers out there, and they're lying there exposing their body to the sun. Well, I hope for their sakes they understand some of the problems of too much sunshine, but some of them don't do that, and they just let that old body get as brown as a berry, and they think they're doing themselves a lot of good. Well, really, they're probably destroying a lot of things. However, the point that I want to make simply is they just go out there and they plop down on the sand and just turn their face to the sun and let it come. Well, theoretically, their body goes through some changes as a result of that. Now, when you are in the presence of Christ, all you do is just turn your face to the sun and let his Spirit minister to you as you need it, you see. You're exposed to him. Now, people who are out there on the beach, they don't have to call down the sun, you know. They don't have to put up a red flag so the sun knows to shine on them. All right, sun, now shine. And they don't have to pull it down out of the sky or go through any kind of rain dance or anything else to get the sun to shine on them. By the same token, to have the Spirit minister to your spirit, you do not need to go through any religious gymnastics or rituals. Competitions, but people think that. They think that the more they weep at an altar, or the more they jump up and down, or the louder they shout or something, that the more the Spirit's going to come to them. And that's not true. He's there already. Just live with him. Well, Father, we thank you for this moment together in the Word. We pray that the Spirit will take this Word and minister to the hearts of these people here tonight. In Christ's name, amen.